If you have your Bible with you, would you turn to the book of 1 John? 1 John, a small little book towards the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 4. We will also have verses for you. There may be the verses for you on the screen. There may be a pew Bible nearby if you want to grab one of those. We may not have all the verses on the screen that we look at today. 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 21. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. God has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, when you read a verse like that, that God has given us a command to love, if we love God, then we also must love our brother or our sister in Christ, that verse might feel like the get-along shirt. Have you ever seen this shirt before? How many of parents have used this shirt before? Have you ever used this? If your kids are not getting along, this is the get-along shirt, right? How many of you have made your children hug when they did not want to hug, right? It's the same basic same idea, right? We're going to force this hug and see what happens. And so you bring together two kids that have been in an argument, they've been at each other, and you force them together, and you hope that this forcing them together will turn maybe to laughter, maybe it'll turn to love, but it's probably going to turn to punches, you know, it's just going to make things worse. But, you know, have you ever been told that you must love each other? You know, you must love each other. Well, this passage that we're looking at today, verse 21, it might feel like that, but this is an important passage for us here as a church family at Main Street, especially today as we have been in the Thanksgiving season and we're moving into the Christmas season. We have great opportunity to reach out. We have a great opportunity to invite other people to be a part of celebrating God with us, to be a part of this church. As a matter of fact, I'd encourage you right now, if God is putting someone on your mind or someone on your heart that you know that is not in church, someone that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, begin to pray for that person. Jot that name down on your message notes. Begin to put that person's name down and think, God, I want you to open the doors for me to invite this person. We're in an important season, and this is an important passage for us as a church when we think about the upcoming season. Why is 1 John 4:21 better than, why is it better than the get-along shirt? How is it more than just a kind of a get-along love? Well, let's read a more lengthy passage here today to put that verse in context. We're going to read chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 7 and move down to verse 21. And so let's read this passage together, and then we'll look at some specific things from it today. Verse 7 begins, "Dear friends," he might be saying here, another way of translating "dear friends" might be "beloved," loved ones. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God also must love his brother. And so what are some things that we see about this love in 1 John chapter 4 that are more than just a get-along type of love? The first thing I want to point out as we look at this is that this love that we read about in this passage is deeply personal. This love is deeply personal. We see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, and then actually on into the next few verses as well. John says this, he writes this, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. He goes on to say, we know we live in him and him in us, because he's given us his spirit. So this is a deeply personal love. Pay attention to this. Spiritual depth is not found in mystical experiences or claims to great visions about God, but spiritual depth is found in God actually abiding in us. Now, when John wrote this letter, he may have been dealing with something like this. Perhaps in that church, there were people who were claiming they had great visions of God, great experiences and visions of God. What does John say? He says, no one has ever seen God. And what he's telling them, he said, hey, you really want to experience God? You want to have a great revelation from God? You want to experience God? If you love one another, God then is working in you and he's working through you. Today, people come to church, they come to a church gathering, and they're looking for something. When they come to church, they're often looking for something. You know, people who haven't been in church, they show up at church for a reason. Maybe it's because someone invited them or something in their life has not been clicking. Maybe they've realized there's something that is lacking in their lives. Sometimes people come to church out of a crisis in their life, a difficult life situation. Sometimes people come to church or come back to church when they have a sense of loneliness in their life or they're at a point in life and they're lacking clear direction. There's something that brings them to the church gathering. If you're here and that's your case and that's your situation, I want to say this. Don't be impressed by people who just have these claims of great spiritual visions. Pay attention to the person who has a deep, abiding love. Watch the person or watch the people, watch the church, and I'm talking about the people there, that watch the people, the gathering, that has a deep, abiding love among them. This is a love that's deeply personal, that says we live in God and God lives in us. This is a love that says God is not just around your life. This is a love that says God is not just around the church, but that God lives in the church, the people. God lives in your life. You see, if it's a person, if we're living lives that we say God is just kind of around my life on an individual level, or as a church if we say God is around the church, then that doesn't live up to the love that God really has for us. Because if I'm living life where God is just around, then I'm really afraid of God. If God is just around me, I'm afraid of him, right? Because I'm afraid of his judgment. I'm afraid of him seeing me for who I really am. Not only am I afraid of God if God is just around, I'm afraid of other people. Right? I don't have a trust and a connection with other people. If God is just around, I'm not sure that I trust you. If God is just around, there is no vulnerability that is shared because there's a great fear that says, well, keep that to yourself, keep that inside, hide that weakness, hide that pain, carry that yourself. That's a church or a people where God is around. God is talked about, but he's not really working in and through the people. That's not the love that John's talking about here. John writes of a love where he says, we live in him and God lives in us. It is deeply personal. It's not just looking in on from the outside. In my mind, I kind of picture this image of a little child at Christmas time. You know, they go up to, that. Maybe they're walking by some shops, and in that storefront shop, there's a glass display, and they are just pressed up against that, like nose pressed up against it, hands up against it, and inside that glass display, they see something, maybe like that little electric train set that's running around, and it's inside the store, and the little kid outside just thinks, what would that be like if that was in my home, right? What would it be like to see that in my own living room? And that's what it's like to be on the outside of God's love. To sense it, but to be on the other side of it and to say, I would like that in here. I would like that to take up residence in my own heart and life. John speaks of this kind of love that's deeply personal. A love that is, it's, make no mistake, and we'll look at this in a little bit. It's a love that is clearly demonstrated through outward action, but it comes from something deeper. It comes from this fellowship with God where he is in us and we are found in him. That's what's happening, John says, when Christians love each other. It's deeply personal because it's about what's happening in the innermost being, the heart of a person. And it connects that person's heart with another person's heart. It's a love that's deeply personal. Now, why is that? We look further into this passage and see why it's deeply personal. It's because this love that is deeply personal, this is a love that is defined by God. We need our love defined because we have a lot of different ideas about love, what it is, what it isn't, where it exists. This is a love that is clearly defined by God. Twice in this passage of Scripture, in chapter 4, verse 8, and then in chapter 4, verse 15, John makes this statement, God is what? God is love. Think about that for a moment. God is love. That's something that can only be said of God. Right, you may know some people that are very loving people, and you would say he is a loving person or she is a loving person, but you wouldn't say he is love, or you wouldn't say she is love. Right, this is a clear description of God's character. God is love. That means everything that God does is consistent with his love. Love is defined by God. God is love. God defines love. Now, John does not leave the statement here. This is what is so good about this passage. John says God is love, but he doesn't stop there, and we're just kind of left pondering what it means. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So John moves from this statement when he says God is love, a very true statement, a great statement about God's character, who he is. But he doesn't leave this statement just like up here, right? He doesn't leave this statement up in the heights. He doesn't leave God is love up in the thought world where we're just supposed to ponder, what in the world does that mean that God is love? He doesn't leave that statement in the abstract. He writes how God brings this love right to us. How God brings this love to our doorstep, to the doors of our hearts. And here we see in verse 9 that this love that he talks about is God is love means that this love is an active love. It's a love that takes action. It's an active love. He says in verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son. He loved, so he acted by sending his son, what we're getting ready to celebrate during this season. God is love means love is action. That God puts this love into practice and into ways that we can see, into ways that we can hear, into ways that can be touched. It's an act of love. So what does that mean for us as Christians? What does that mean for us as a church? It means that our love must be active love. It means that we have to show up in love, right? It means that as a church, we need to be there for each other. God so loved that he sent, right? And so in our love, we are sent to each other. It must show up in lives. If you're a Christian here, God has called you to be a vehicle for his love. He's called you to be a vehicle for the gospel, for the good news. And that has to show up. Do you ever feel like you're just rushing by people, you know? You're living your life and you're just kind of passing by people. Over the holidays, like this past week with Thanksgiving, you know, you get to spend some time with family that you normally don't get to spend time with. But even then, maybe it's a few hours and sometimes you're rushed off to the next spot. Do you ever feel like you're just kind of passing by people? And the reality is we know enough people and we interact with enough people that we can't possibly be there for everyone, can we? I mean, you can't possibly be there for everybody that's in this gathering today. You can't possibly know everyone on a very deep level in this gathering today. You can't be with everyone, but you must be with someone. You can't love everyone this way, but you must love some people this way, right? That God gives you the opportunity and that there's that intentionality as a church. God so loved and he showed it. And so as Christians go into this deep love that we are truly there for each other. That's why it's important as a church to gather on Sundays. That's why it's important as a church to be a part of a growth group or a Sunday school class, to be part of a ministry. What I mentioned earlier during announcements that December, and if you look at your bulletin, you think, man, December is packed, crazy with opportunities to show up. So when we talk about decorating the church, the hanging of the greens, or we talk about the Christmas parade, or we talk about the children's program, or we talk about the lunch, or we talk about the Christmas baskets, we talk about all these things that they're not just these events or programs, but they're intentional opportunities to come alongside each other, to be together, to show up and to love each other through those ministries. God is love means being present. I want to encourage you as a church. I know that over the next several weeks, there's not only the things that are happening in church, but the things that are happening in your family and in your life and in your school. Would you say, I'm going to be present with the church? I'm going to be present as we gather. Because as we see other people come into this church and we welcome them in at this season when people tend to kind of show up even if they don't normally, we need to be here to love them. We need to be here so they're not alone when they show up, so that they can see true love expressed through the church. This love is an active love. And he goes on to explain it in verse 10. Not only is it an active love, what does that action look like? Verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's active, but it's not just active in a busy sense. It's sacrificial love. It's not only defined as being active because God sent his son. What was that sending? It was a sacrifice. This love is defined this way by God. It is active love. It is sacrificial love. This is so significant because John says not that we love God. We need to understand, again, this isn't our type of love. This is foreign to us. God's love is so foreign to us that it must be revealed to us. It must be revealed in us. This is a love that does not start with me. It doesn't start inside of me. It doesn't start with watching Hallmark shows, right? They've been on at my house. It's okay. Right? But it's deeper than that. It's a love where God sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is one of the most clear, this is one of the clearest, most explicit expressions of love in the scripture that's just laid out there. And what is it? It is sacrifice. That in this love, Jesus, the Son of God, gives himself completely for our sins. And as Jesus gives himself completely for our sins on the cross, there, the demands of God's justice are met, that God's favor is won, and sin is dealt with and removed in order to provide forgiveness. It's a sacrificial love. Now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for Christians? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for the church? Verse 11, it means this: dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. To love this way it means that I'll love at my own cost, that I'll give at my own cost. Since God has loved us this way, and we know it, it's deeply personal, it's in us and through us, then so we should also love this way. How does God love? God loves by giving the absolute best. He loves by giving the absolute best. He loves by giving his own son. So are we okay in the way we love? Are we okay with just giving our leftovers? Thanksgiving meal. It was great on Thursday, wasn't it? Right? It was just great meal on Thursday. I hope you had a great meal on Thursday. Today, warmed up, it's okay, right? God doesn't give us the leftovers. He gives us what is choice. He gives us what is best. He gives of himself. And so a love, as it is defined by God, is active and it's sacrificial. It says it seeks to benefit others at my own cost, that this will cost me something to love this way. There's a risk involved here. I very well may lose here. I will lose here in a worldly perspective. I will lose here to love my brother, to love my sister. This is the love that's defined by God. It's active and it's sacrificial. That's why it's deeply personal. And then we get to this last point. This love that's deeply personal, that's defined by God, this love gives great confidence. It gives great confidence. Look again at verse 16. God is love. Whoever lives and love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, or love is perfected among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Think about that for a minute. So that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we're like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So this love, this is confidence on the day of judgment. This is a love that's so deeply personal that it's from God and it's deeply personal, so it drives out fear in our lives. This is a love that when it reads the commands of God, it rejoices. It's a love that's so personal to us. It's a love that's put into us so that when we see God's commands, we don't shrink back, but we rejoice at those commands. Now, why is this so, and how is this so? Because this love of God that's deeply personal, that's defined by him, it gives us that kind of confidence because this love has addressed the deepest part of who you are. It's addressed the deepest part of who you are, which means this love deals with your darkness. This love deals with the darkness that you kind of want to keep hidden and to the side. Here's what you have to understand about this love. This is not a love that simply admires what's good about the other. That's often what we think about when we think of love. I love that person means I admire all the good about them. This is love that doesn't simply admire what's good in the other. That's not what's happening with God's love with you. God's love with you says, I really know you. I really know your darkness. I really know your hang-ups. And I proceed to work for you despite your darkness, despite your hang-ups, despite your sins. That's Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? He knew that we were sinners, yet he moves into that. And he says, even still, I work for you. Even still, I go to the cross for you. It's not simply admiring the good in the other. It's knowing the complete other and still loving them. When someone knows your faults and still loves you, you're loved, right? When someone knows your faults and still loves you, you know you're loved. That's why marriage is so difficult, isn't it? This is a love that gives great confidence. When you know that someone knows your faults but still loves you, you have confidence. Here, John says, you have confidence on the day of judgment. Now, how could someone, think about this. The day of judgment that you are facing a holy God, a righteous God, a God who never sins, a God who knows no sin, and you're walking into that situation with confidence. How is that possible? Because you know your heart and your life has already been dealt with by him through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that gives confidence there. And if that provides confidence on the day of judgment, how much more would that provide confidence for you this day? Right? If you're going to have confidence when you face God, how much more so will you have confidence today in your living to live out of that confident love? The one who knows God's great love, the one who knows God's great love, sees the get-along shirt, right? And says, no problem. Put that sucker on. It doesn't constrain me. that gives me an opportunity to love. The commands of God, to love God and love others, those commands are not burdensome to me. They don't weigh me down. They don't make me sink in guilt. I've been freed by his love. I long to complete those commands of God because of what he has birthed in me through the gift of his Son, that my heart longs to love. And so, we as Christians love. And so we as Christians live in that love. And know as we live in that love for each other, we have the presence and the reality of God in us. That's what this church is. Do you realize that? That's what this gathering is. It's a place where God's love is to live because of the grace given us through Christ. Is that important enough that we will show up? Is that important enough that we will invite others in? Will you stand with me? Let's pray together. As we pray, will you respond? Pray with me. Pray in response to God's word. We're going to sing a song here in a moment, and perhaps it's a time of prayer and worship for you. Perhaps it's a time where God is drawing on your heart. You've maybe been that person that's like on the outside of the glass looking in, and God says, I want this love to reside in your heart, and I've made that possible through Jesus Christ. Would you put your trust in him today? Would you open up your heart and your life to his love today? Let's pray together. God, we love because you first loved us. That this is not a love that comes from inside of us, but it's a love that you have placed in us through the gift of life, through the sacrifice of your Son, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, cover our hearts. Fill our hearts in this love today. That you give us something that's more than emotional, that you give us something that's more than just the burden of a command, but that you give us the reality of an active, sacrificial love lived out day by day. This is what we need, Lord, and this is what this world needs. May we be walking in it to point others towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.